Good morning, Anchor, and happy Friday. This is Kaylee Chella checking in with today's top stories.
First Lady Melania Trump's parents were sworn in as U.S. citizens on Thursday, completing a legal path to citizenship that their son-in-law has suggested eliminating. Victor and Amalia Knauves, both in their 70s, took the citizenship oath at a private ceremony in New York City. The Slovenian immigrants, a former car dealer and a textile factory worker, have been living in the U.S. as permanent residents. The Knauves slipped in and out of a side entrance at a Manhattan federal building flanked by Department of Homeland Security police. Some workers inside didn't know what was going on. The couple said little other than Victor telling a reporter thank you when asked how they felt about becoming Americans. The Knauves' lawyer said they had, quote, travailed a wonderful journey. Lawyer Michael Wilds said the Knauves applied for citizenship on their own and didn't get any special treatment. He confirmed that Melania Trump sponsored their green cards. But her husband, as you all know, President Trump, has proposed ending most family-based immigration, which he refers to as chain migration. After the ceremony, Wilds said, quote, this golden experiment, these doors that are in America, remain hinged open to beautiful people as they have today. Amid a bitter debate over immigration, particularly the Trump administration's separation of children from families crossing the border illegally, Wilds said the Knauves' attaining citizenship was an example of it going right. Along with targeting illegal immigration, President Trump has proposed sharply curbing legal immigration. The Republican president proposed replacing most family-based immigration with a skills-based system after an attempted bombing by a Bangladeshi immigrant in New York last December. He also called for eliminating a visa lottery program for people from countries underrepresented in the United States. Puerto Rico is estimating in a report to Congress that Hurricane Maria killed more than 1,400 people, though an island official said Thursday that the confirmed toll remains frozen at 64, pending a scientific review due out soon. The government, relying on updated statistics it first reported in June, said in a report to Congress detailing a $139 billion reconstruction plan that there were 1,427 more deaths from September to December of 2017 than the average for that same time period over the previous 4 years. The territory's government said that the additional deaths resulted from the effects of a storm that led to a cascading failures in infrastructure across the island of 3.3 million people. The administration of Governor Ricardo Rossello stopped updating its official death toll months ago and ordered an investigation amid reports that the number was substantially undercounted. Public Safety Department Secretary Hector Pesquera said the new total will reflect the findings of the investigation, which is expected in the coming weeks. The figure of more than 1,400, Pesquera said, is quote-unquote simple math based on the number of excess deaths. He said, quote, this is not the official number of deaths attributable to Hurricane Maria. Hurricane Maria, which came just 2 weeks after Hurricane Irma, passed near enough to cause damage to the island, knocking out power and water across Puerto Rico and causing widespread flooding that left many sick and elderly people unable to get medical treatment. In a report seeking assistance from Congress, the government said, quote, the hurricane's devastating effects on people's health and safety cannot be overstated. That report was seeking help to rebuild an island that was already struggling from a deep economic crisis at the time of the storm. The Associated Press reports that Tennessee carried out the execution Thursday of a man condemned for the 1985 rape and murder of a 7-year-old girl, marking the first time the state has applied the death penalty in nearly a decade. Inmate Billy Ray Eyrick received a 3-drug injection at a maximum security prison in Nashville and was pronounced dead at 7:48 p.m. He was convicted in 1986 in the death of Paula Dyer, a Knoxville girl that at the time he was babysitting. The blinds between a witness room and the execution chamber were opened at 7:26 p.m., and Eyrick could be seen through glass windows strapped to a gurney, an IV stuck in his arm, and leaning back through the wall to a room hidden by a mirrored window, where someone administered the drugs. Asked if he had any words before the chemicals began flowing, Eyrick at first appeared to sigh and say no, but then he said, quote, I just want to say I'm really sorry, and that's it. It was the first execution in Tennessee since December of 2009, when inmate Cecil Johnson received a lethal injection for the 1980 killings of 3 people during a Nashville convenience store robbery. Since then, the state has endured legal challenges and difficulties finding execution chemicals, including in its previous drug, pentobarbital. On Monday, the state Supreme Court also had refused to block Eyrick's execution, saying the lawsuit filed by inmates involving the execution drugs wasn't likely to succeed. That case is continuing in a state appeals court. Tennessee's execution protocol called for the use of midazolam as a sedative, the muscle relaxer vicuronium bromide, and then potassium chloride to stop the heart. At question is whether midazolam is actually effective in rendering someone unconscious and unable to feel pain from the other two drugs. Federal public defender Kelly Henry said at trial that inmates were tortured to death, feeling like they were suffocating, drowning, and utterly confused. Attorneys for the state have said the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the use of midazolam in a three-drug series. Once Eirik was dead, Attorney General Herbert Slattery said justice was delayed too long for the little girl killed and her family.
I hate to leave you on that note, but that is all the news I have for you for today. Be sure to check back in with me tonight for an update. This is Kaylee Chella, checking out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.